Because you can handle the truth.
Public Broadcasting Network. It's a shame that my audio is so jacked up. I would like to take some calls, but I just can't because I'm not going to be able to hear you very well. So I apologize for that, the technical difficulties. Now, this is from the 13th. And you remember when Robert David Steele basically talked about the quakes and how he thought that they were, let's say, not necessarily acts of God, that there could have been some, you know, state actors here with some of this. Now, listen to this. This is from the 13th. So basically, this is over here at whatdoesitmean.com. You know, like it's this place, a data dump clearinghouse, I think. Elements within Saudi Arabia were attempting to access their kingdom's nuclear weapons in Pakistan. Okay. Now, this is out of a BBC article. Once they did this, the Persian Shiite Republic of Iran sent an unmistakable message that it would not accept being drawn any further into the global plot to destroy President Trump by their detonating a thermonuclear device at their vast underground Khorramabad special weapons facility. And that's off globalsecurity.org. Buried deep within the Zagros Mountains. And that also followed the shocking revelation that rapidly anti-Trump Saudi prince Al-Walid bin Talal had been a primary funder of CIA gunrunner and human smuggler Stephen Paddock, who was the patsy identified as being the shooter involved in the Las Vegas massacre false flag event. And they got a tweet from Al-Walid Talal from back in December 11th, 2015. And he's tweeted at Trump, "You're a disgrace not only to the GOP, but to all of America. Withdraw from the U.S. presidential race as you will never win." And you could tell this guy's into the whole spy, you know, you can just tell by the way he looks. According to this report, with the looming defeat of ISIS setting the stage for the deep state to initiate a war between Saudi Arabia and Iran, it's causing the drums of a big war coming to reverberating across the entire Middle East. The Iranians, in their seeking to stop the world in its tracks, detonated one of their three estimated thermonuclear weapons they possessed that they obtained in 2001 from Ukraine, who had sold them from their existing Soviet stockpiles to both Iran and China. And that General Yuri Balyevsky had alerted the West about in 2002 by his publicly stating, "Iran does have nuclear weapons." Of course, these are non-strategic nuclear weapons. I mean, these are not ICBMs with a range of more than 5,500 kilometers and more. But as a military man, I see no danger of aggression against Russia by Iran. And so basically, this article saying that the Iranians detonated a nuclear warhead weapon, so forth, and that's what caused the big 7.3 earthquake in Iran. Now, within 30 minutes of Iran detonating their thermonuclear weapon, the report details Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman had an emergency communication with President Putin, wherein he formally requested that Iran's leadership be immediately informed that Saudi Arabia had recalled all of its fighter aircraft from attacking Lebanon, and it was ending its blockade of Yemen, and that a historic invitation had been extended and accepted by Lebanon's esteemed Marionette Patriarch Bakara Boutros al-Rahi to immediately come to Saudi Arabia in the furtherance of peace, and that for doing so, Crown Prince bin Salman thanked Putin by stating he would immediately sign an equally historic arms deal between his kingdom and Russia. And it's got a picture of Bill Gates and this Prince al-Walid bin Talal. And it gets into the basically saying that talking about his one of the majority owners of Twitter and how he refused to allow it to stop publishing messages from ISIS to its fanatical terrorist followers around the globe. And he was a major shareholder in Time Warner. And, you know, he's part of this deep state purge that's going on in Saudi Arabia. And he's supposedly under torture. He basically set up shooters in the floors above where Paddock was because, you know, the it was jointly owned, this Four Seasons Hotel, which is up at the top floors of the Mandalay, supposedly, jointly owned by Prince al-Walid bin Talal, an American leftist globalist, Bill Gates, occupies the top floors of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, directly above the room Paddock was in. Okay. So very fascinating that you see these, you know, kind of stories. Do I believe it? I don't know what to believe anymore. And I know many of you don't know what to believe anymore either. Russia, China plan for incoming nuke strikes over credible evidence. Coup d'etat will top it. Trump. You know, and that ties in with the Marines, you know, this all this stuff floating around about the Marines, you know, I guess taking over part, you know, the CIA headquarters, some sort of little skirmish there. Who knows? You know, the Rothschild plane helicopter thing. I don't know. Here's something from Anonymous. Ken, get clip 8 queued up. This is about the Rothschild crash, and this is typical robotic Anonymous voice. We might as well listen to this one. Go ahead and roll clip 8, if you would.
Greetings, citizens of the world. Jacob Rothschild and at least 4 other people are feared dead after a plane and helicopter crashed in his estate in Buckinghamshire this afternoon. The wreckage from the aircraft is believed to have fallen from the sky following reports from locals who said they heard a loud bang after midday. A local resident told Mail Online, "My father heard a loud bang. My mother said a man, who I think was someone who had been out walking nearby, then went running up to the manor to say there had been a crash. It didn't happen directly over the grounds, but in woodland nearby. My father ran up to the scene. Everyone is helping the emergency services. Both aircraft involved had taken off from Wickamare Park, near High Wycombe, and were flying at low altitude. It is not yet known as Jacob Rothschild was in the estate at the time of the crash or whether he survived the incident. At least 7 fire engines are now attending the scene searching for survivors. Staff from the Wadsland Estate, which is managed by a foundation set up by the eminent Rothschild family, helped direct emergency vehicles to the scene of the tragedy as police threw up a massive cordon around the area to preserve the scene. The Grand Country Manor House, which was used in the filming of The Crown and the Queen starring Helen Mirren, is understood to have been hosting a Christmas market at the time of the crash. Staff from the Air Accident Investigation Branch were also drafted into the area to begin an inquiry into what led to the mid-air collision. Sources said that it was believed there were multiple casualties, believed to be fatalities. A spokesman for Thames Valley Police said, "Officers are currently at the scene of an air accident near the village of Wadsland near Aylesbury. The Air Accidents Investigation Branch has been informed, and the staff is en route to the scene. Fire and ambulance services are also in attendance, and preservation of life is the first priority. In consequence of this incident, it is expected that there will be...
You know, and then people are speculating that, okay, this is the way to disappear yourself, go into whatever, the dens of the rocks, the caves, the underground, the dumps, all these billions that were spent. You know, I didn't get to that part of Robert David Steele's interview where basically he was saying, you know, the Pentagon didn't lose 2.3 trillion or 4 point whatever and all this. This stuff is that a lot of this money that, you know, all these people that go on various programs talking about missing money, it's actually part of the black budgets to build all the underground facilities and so forth and so on. So have I ever been to one of the big tunnel systems where they can drive all those semis through? You know, you see the footage, but as I started the program off with, I don't know what to believe anymore. And so it is what it is. Very weird, though, all these things, the takedown of a lot of these Jewish perverts in Hollywood and, you know, and now the attempted takedown of Roy Moore. You know, the thing with the Roy Moore, these people come out after all these years, and it's like, well, wait a minute, this guy was a Supreme Court judge and a high-profile politician all this time, and nobody said a word. And now, all of a sudden, this highly contentious Senate seat, which, you know, Mitch McConnell and all these people, I think this Moore guy, you know, with his history with the Ten Commandments and all that stuff with Alabama and him getting ousted, I think they consider him so dangerous, they don't want him in the Senate. I don't, you know, the whole thing with Rand Paul, and I had that queued up a couple weeks ago, but so some crazy dude tackles him, breaks a bunch of his ribs, his neighbor, some libtard neighbor of his who's like a well-to-do, you know, was an anesthesiologist or something. You know, Rand Paul is a doctor too, but he's a senator. But then the guy gets this little cheesy $5,000 bond, I think it was. And I'm like, wait a minute, a sitting U.S. senator, would the feds snatch this guy on some sort of federal charge for, you know, I mean, to have the local county there set the bond that low. I mean, in counties around here, you can get in an argument with your significant other and get a higher bond, a domestic assault third degree, which is a misdemeanor or something. Or you could just, you know, you could push somebody and get a $10,000 bond around here. But this guy, he breaks the ribs of six ribs of a senator, and his bond was set that low. The whole thing seems very suspect. I don't know what the deal is there. As soon as I saw how much the bond was, I'm like, really? A sitting U.S. senator, and the guy bonds out right away? That would never happen around here. Now, I don't know, you know, down there in Kentucky, so forth and so on, but I found that highly suspect, the how low they set that bond for the guy who assaulted Rand Paul. All right. So Pope Francis implies in his UN speech that climate change deniers are perverts who endanger humanity. In his message, the Pope said that climate change is one of the most worrisome phenomena that humanity is facing, while praising the Paris Accord on reducing carbon dioxide as a historic agreement. You know, these Jesuits, they're involved in all this crap with Mount Graham and the Lucifer Telescope, and they've been involved with the cosmology stuff really, really heavy. I mean, The more you get into this priestly order, the weirder it gets. And I got an article up, Jesuit fingerprints all over the Sutherland Springs false flag. Remember I talked about Guy Fawkes, November 5th, and all that 2 weeks ago? the gunpowder plot. You know, between 1569 and 1605, there were no less than 11 great plots against Elizabeth and English Protestantism working toward assassination, rebellion, and invasion. Each is known by the name of the leader of the treachery. Ridolfi, Sanders, Pope Gregory XIII, Jesuit priest Campion, Jesuit priest Robert Parsons, the Duke of Guise, Cardinal Allen, Throgmorton, Perry, Babington, Pope Sixtus V, King Philip II of Spain, York, Walpole, Southwell, and Guy Fawkes. You know, invade England, assassinate Queen Elizabeth I, incite rebellion, and place, of course, Bloody Mary Stuart on the throne. Took its name from Anthony Babington, so forth and so on. And so on November 5th, there was a mass shooting at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs. 26-year-old Devin Patrick Kelly killed 26 and injured 20. Shot twice by a local civilian. It gets into Governor Abbott. I didn't know that he was a Catholic, and he's married to a Mexican American bilingual Catholic. And it gets into the Roman agenda, which is open borders. It dovetails nicely with the Jewish Jacob Javits open borders agenda. So you see how sometimes these agendas overlap. Okay. And, you know, this character Bergoglio was all about the flood of so-called refugees into Europe. Same deal. Okay. So let's see. I'm not going to get into all the false flag stuff, but 26, okay, that's the guy's 26. He kills 26 people, same number supposedly at the Sandy Hook deal. Tim McVeigh, 26 at the time of Oklahoma City. John Wilkes Booth was killed on April 26, 1865. He was 26 at the time of his supposed death. Very interesting. It gets into the numerology and stuff. But people are looking at this thing and you look at it like this. These people dig killing people. And so I don't get into the whole hoax versus false flag and get into that and get into arguments with people. I'm not going to do that, but there's definitely people, you know, and it goes into the gun control stuff and all that, but people are looking at this kid being, you know, MK Ultra'd up, you know, in the psych hospital, military stuff, was going to kill his commanders and all this. He gets out and he pulls this. And so there's really, really weird stuff here. Let's see, we're coming up on break, but let's do clip three real quick. Let's just play the beginning of that. There's a Twitter purge going on of all these people that had their little verifications and so forth. Let's roll that one real quick.
You know, it's funny. I still feel like a real person, even though Twitter says that I'm not. That's right. Twitter has decided to strip the verification badge away from my account and the accounts of several others because we don't fit their definition of what is acceptable behavior or acceptable viewpoints for their platform anymore. What happened is, a couple days ago on Wednesday, Twitter made the decision to change how their verification process works and change which accounts they would allow to have the ever sought after blue check mark on their platform. Now, since verification was introduced to Twitter in 2009, it's been a means of verifying the authenticity of accounts held by public figures. So, for example, Donald Trump would get a verification badge next to his account so people would know it is the real Donald Trump and not a fake profile. Same thing with other CEOs, business people, political figures, commentators, journalists, etc. Now, that form of verification made sense. Twitter might not like what people say, they might not like how they say it, they might not like their opinions or viewpoints or beliefs, but that wasn't part of the equation. They just decided to verify.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. We will talk about it on the other side.
we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All right, we're back.
Incendiary Radio. So, look, Richard Spencer, you know, big alt-right figure who a lot of people have questions about. Jason Kessler, the character that threw this whole Charlottesville debacle. Tommy Robinson, the English guy. He's a regular with Watson and Jones. He wrote Muhammad's Quran, the real... He's probably some sort of operative himself, but Laura Loomer, the Jewish girl that hangs out with Posobiec, Jack Posobiec, and she was the one, you know, interrupting the Caesar on the park stuff in New York where they were mimicking killing Trump. James Alsup, who I was just playing. So a whole bunch of people that they consider far right. Their verification, their little blue tick marks have been removed a bunch of people this week. And so, you know, I mean, look, it's a good way to, for these people now to get a lot of accusations thrown at them because now there'll be all kinds of dummy accounts, and there already were. But that's a way to make sure that an individual, you know, like 100,000 followers on Twitter or something, they could verify that, yes, this is the person. And so you would know, hey, this is their account. So now they stripped a bunch of these people, these kind of alternative media types, you know, on the, I guess, on the right side of the political spectrum, Loomer, you know, I'm wondering where this is going to stop. A lot of people are leaving Twitter, but it's just further, you know, this Google, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, the censorship's going crazy. Where the FCC is on all this, you know, Roger Stone got banned from Twitter. A second account of his, I think, is banned now. And so he's suing Twitter. And so where this stops, nobody knows. You know, people want to treat this like as a public utility, a public commons. You know, you don't like to see this, but, you know, the totalitarian communist, they can't win arguments, and so they have to censor. They have to do red terror. They have to do the gulag mentality. Even if it's not a physical gulag, they want to pull the mental gulag because their ideas are bankrupt. Socialism, you know, taking money from people by force of government, and then to have the state decide, you know, how it's going to be spent on a massive level. I mean, there's always going to be some taxation, and, you know, for infrastructure, military, so forth and so on. But when you get into the social engineering, when you get into redistribution, when you start just giving EBT SNAP cards to heroin addicts just because they're heroin addicts, and they've decided to throw their life away on drugs. It violates the natural law, in my opinion. There's a couple of cool Bible passages. One of them is, he that does not work should not eat. Okay, and the other one is, he that provides not for the members of his own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So basically saying, if you bring people into the world, you have family, you have people dependent on you, and you don't provide for them, and then you're going to claim to be a believer of some sort. It's very clear that you've denied the faith and you're worse than an unbeliever. That's pretty harsh. And that's why all these people out here that, they're on the dole and they whine about, you know, this and this. And yeah, I know the whole system's corrupt, and the UCC, the bar, the straw man concept, the 14th Amendment, the whole thing. Yeah. And so some people just decide to use that as a crutch to check out. And so then, oh, I'm not going to take part in this system. I'm a sovereign. I'm totally free from it, blah, blah, blah. And then, you're not making your daily bread for you and yours. Basically, you've denied the whole thing anyway, and you're worse than an unbeliever. This matrix system that's created for us, you know, this side-by-side system, I mean, you got to still operate somewhat in it, unfortunately, if you're going to provide for those around you. And so it's a tough dichotomy that we all have to kind of balance. So, you know, it's just like, yeah, I'd like to cut the cord and, you know, become some mountain man, I guess, and not have to deal with the government, but eventually they're going to find you anyway. The frontier is disappearing. This electronic grid is upon us. And so this is a hard time to be alive. It's an interesting time to watch all this change and to watch some of the bad guys get squeezed, and you hope it's not all just theater. You hope that it's real. Last half hour of the program coming up. Incendiary Radio.
Holding fast between the lines, feeling fine, but we're losing time.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
worry a lot. If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Clinton body count might be up against Steve Mostyn, Democrat mega donor to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, died after a sudden onset and battle with a mental health issue. While the death appears to be a suicide, the Mostyn family has yet to comment on what the cause of death is. Mostyn, a famous Houston area trial lawyer, was one of the country's biggest donors to Democrat issues. The Mostyns were co-founders of the Ready for Hillary PAC, the political action committee supporting Clinton's unsuccessful campaign for president. At the same time, state campaign finance records show he contributed to a police-affiliated PAC that supported some Republican primary candidates. He In 2016, he gave Clinton $1 million. Okay. Did not have a history of mental illness. Okay. Made millions by suing insurance companies after Hurricane Rita 2005 and Hurricane Ike in 2008 ravaged the state of Texas. That's interesting. You know, whether it's a, you know, another body counter, just a, another, you know, coincidence. You never know. all these people that end up dead around these various people. Let's see here. Now here's another one. Witness about to expose Hillary Clinton is missing, fear dead. You know, I'm waiting for the article to load. Okay, Professor Joseph Mifsud was one of the people identified as a connection between Russian officials and the Trump campaign. Mifsud is linked to George Papadopoulos, the 30-year-old Trump campaign advisor who pled guilty several weeks ago regarding lies he told to federal agents. Papadopoulos was taken into custody shortly after Paul Manafort's indictment. Okay. Mifsud said the Russians were in possession of thousands of emails related to and involving Hillary Clinton. He promised that he could get Russian sources to divulge dirt on Hillary Clinton. Professor and lecturer at a private university in Rome. Last Thursday, he disappeared and hasn't been heard of since then. No one has been able to reach him. Just, you know, this as the rats, some of them come under the squeeze, you know, Hillary wearing this foot thing and people are saying it's a boot, but it's disguised. It's really a massive, some sort of contraption to keep her from rolling out. It's fascinating when all these people start dying as some of the rats get squeezed. You know, Sean Hannity and others have been saying, wait till Monday. So tomorrow, we'll see what happens. You know, people have been giving us these little teasers lately. You know, I'm so jaded and twisted with all this. So let's see here. Oh, Trump with the UCLA little thieves from the basketball team. I mean, and then the one guy, Ball, his dad is a real, looks like he's a real piece of work. Basically trying to downgrade the fact, you know, Trump getting the kids out. You know, who knows? Personally, I don't know. It's a mixed bag. If Trump wouldn't have did anything, then he'd be a racist for not getting these poor black thieves out of a Chinese gulag system. And he does something and he's like, yeah, I looked out for these guys. Oh, you didn't do squat. They were going to let him go anyway. You racist. So, I mean, he's damned if he do, damned if he don't. The Mugabe thing is very fascinating to me. Robert Mugabe finally being pushed out. Let's do the three Israels thing. I promised I'd get to that. Ken, find clip two and let's get that one queued up. This is a pretty interesting one. So let's listen to Brother Nathaniel, the three Israels. We got it.
It's not about crappy little Israel anymore. It's about the three Israels. It begins with genocidal Israel that sits on stolen land, covered with the blood of its centuries-old possessors, the Palestinians, who've been slaughtered and dispossessed by the Jews. Alongside is Greater Israel, that hegemonic mischief maker that uses America to fight its wars in Syria, Iraq, and before long, Lebanon and Iran. Moving beyond is gigantic Israel, entrenched in the political culture of the U.S. and Europe and embedded in Jewry's global army, NATO. Lieberman spilled the beans.
I agree with John McCain that when the president turned over leadership to NATO, in one sense, that was exactly the right thing to do, because we can't fight every good fight in the world alone. We need our allies. I appreciate that they've come in. But we're the heart of NATO, and it's not as exactly as if we took the ball and gave it to NATO. We're still NATO.
If America is the heart of NATO, then given Jewish influence in D.C., Israel pumps its genocidal blood through NATO's global veins. Western civilization has morphed into the Atlanticist security state, which throws Europe under America's bus, beholden to Zionist interests. For with the Individual Cooperation Program, ICP, the Mediterranean Dialogue, and with an Israeli ambassador to NATO, Israel burrows itself within the Western security state.
Mr. General, Secretary General, I want to start by thanking you for the important and welcome decisions to allow Israel to open an office at NATO's headquarters. This will help Israel, and it will help NATO, I hope, strengthening our cooperation and our good relation. It will help us share best practices and information.
That means Mossad. With genocidal Israel, greater Israel, gigantic Israel, spinning its web through shared private information, Mossad can stealthily advance a Jewish agenda. And like a spider entangling its prey, the three Israels, with its foreign lobbies, embassies, and participation in stacks of security networks, Jewry's quest for a one-world governance is hard to shake. International Jewry, at the center of Zionism, wields the levers of global finance, Forex, SWIFT, letters of credit, forfeiting, along with its control of the West Central banks. Jerome Powell is simply Gentile window dressing. Roll up the blinds, and the three Israels, backed by a global Jewish financial system, loom large in the shadows. And what's hid in the shadows, Israel's nukes, need not fire, for Israel's tentacles have spread throughout the world.
All right, so, you know, the thing never stops. Now, I've been succumbing to Henry Mackow. You know, he had an interesting article up, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm pulling it up now. But basically, it was written by an Israeli, supposedly. And it's basically like telling his fellow Israelis to quit being behind European genocide and so forth and so on, that it's suicidal for them, so forth and so on, to have this crazy, megalomaniacal plan to basically genocide the whites out of Europe. And it's going to blow back on them and so forth and so on. So, whether that one's real or not, who knows? Let's see. We should go to this one. Ken, if you would pull up. I'm going to pull up clip 12, but I want to cover this first. Shock, Black Death patients are escaping the hospital over fear of needles as officials worry the plague could spread. And, you know, I'm seeing a lot out here about this, and I covered this right off the flip. Some very weird things about this individual that traveled to Madagascar that was involved in bioengineering, biowarfare, and so forth. And that was a couple weeks ago. Patients in Madagascar, and this is at the SHTF plan, patients in Madagascar are currently suffering from the plague, have escaped multiple hospitals in the area over fears of needles and hospital treatment as a whole, according to a shocking report in the Sun newspaper. Security guards with at least one hospital have been tasked with forcefully keeping Black Death patients in the hospital, as well as following the strict safety procedures set up in an attempt to quell the outbreak. And then they're talking about people running away from hospitals on the heels of reports that it's only a matter of time before the plague becomes resistant to the antibiotics that are currently being used to treat it. Pneumonic plague or Black Death in Madagascar is released. Officials warn that it's inevitable that this bacterial infection that's infected over 2,000 people will become resistant. Okay. And so here's what's crazy. Prince William running his mouth about too many people right at the same time that this this stuff starts, you know, happening. Just too weird. Just too weird. Now, Jones covered this, and this is from the Daily Sheeple. Jones was talking about this today. So you got your first gaggle of AI worshipers putting in for a 501c3 as a religious organization. This is where the techies are going. And, you know, I've been warning about this since I came on the air. Some of the first shows I did were about basically transhumanism and artificial intelligence. But let's roll clip 12.
Now, I've got one for you here, because according to PJMedia.com, an ex-Google executive has registered the first church of AI with the IRS. That's right. The first church of artificial intelligence is on the way. A former executive at Google has filed paperwork with the IRS, it says, to establish an official religion of technology. The religion doesn't just worship scientific progress, but artificial intelligence itself, with the goal of creating a godhead. The new church of AI will aim to, quote, develop and promote the realization of a godhead based on artificial intelligence, and through understanding and worshiping of the godhead, to contribute to the betterment of society. This is according to IRS documents. The nonprofit religious organization would be called Way of the Future. According to the website wayofthefuture.church, the movement is about creating a peaceful and respectful transition of who is in charge of the planet from people to people plus machines. Quote, given that technology will reveal soon, be able to surpass human abilities, it says we want to help educate people about this exciting future and prepare a smooth transition. It continues, it says, in recent years, we have expanded our concept of rights to both sexes, minority groups, and even animals. Let's make sure we find a way for machines to get the right to get rights too. Now, there's an inherent contradiction in creating a deity of artificial intelligence and then worshiping it. Very good point. Quote, let's stop pretending we can hold back the development of intelligence where there are clear, massive short-term economic benefits to those who develop it, and instead understand the future and have it treat us like a beloved elder who created it, the site argues. Yet the IRS document spoke about a godhead based on artificial intelligence. Now, the website argues that the creation of superintelligence is inevitable and that fears of this development is unhealthy. They say that they don't think that there are ways to actually stop this from happening, nor should we want to, and that this feeling of we must stop this is rooted in 21st century anthropomorphism. Yeah. Perhaps the WOTF meant to use the word.
Go ahead and stop it there. I started getting into this transhumanism thing through some of the Christian researchers, Tom Horn and Steve Quayle being the two big ones. So Tom Horn, way back, wrote a book called Forbidden Gates. I don't know how old this book is. I got a couple copies of it. And it's all about, they call it techno-dimensional spiritual warfare. And it's basically about crossing past these gates where, according to Christian theologians, a lot of them, that places where we shouldn't go past with nanotech, AI, robotics, gene editing. There's all this stuff about basically CRISPR, and I covered CRISPR technologies, which is gene editing technologies. I mean, we're right on the edge where this thing's getting tweaked, finalized and tweaked, where people are, I'm sure this is already happening with the elites, the designer baby thing. And it's been going on for some time, but for the masses. And so this church of AI, you know, we're moving quickly into, let's just say, a very ugly place. Ken, and I've got an article pulled up, but I want to play this this clip number 18. Get that one ready. And this is about police being able to grab your DNA off of 23andMe or Ancestry.com or some of the other ones. You know, it's real neat to find out your specific breakdown of your ethnicity and where your bloodlines come from and so forth and so on. Yeah, it's real neat, but Ancestry.com, which I believe is ran by the Mormons, you sign away basically your rights to your own DNA with them. Some of the other ones are a little bit better as far as you being able to maintain ownership of your own DNA. But from what I'm recalling, Ancestry.com is the worst. You really got to read the fine print with these folks. But let's hit clip number 18 real quick.
This is just a heads up for those that do not know or those that are not aware of what the police can try to do here in terms of Ancestry.com. Now, this is interesting in a couple different ways here. Now, first off, they have to have a warrant to be able to legally go in and do this, but that's not going to stop them from applying or asking and constantly badgering or bothering these places to try to get the information without it. And although they're trying to say in many instances they have not complied, there are a lot of requests going through. And in one instance here, they were suspecting that a guy was involved in some kind of crime. And what they did is, since his DNA was not in the database, his family's was. They went and they researched and found that the bloodstains that were tied to this case closely matched the family's blood. So as soon as they got a really close match, they got a warrant to go after him and get his blood. And then guess what? It wasn't him. But not only can they go after you in your DNA that's on file here if they suspect something or if they have a warrant or something like that, but they can also go after family members to try to get a bead on just how close they are or if there's a close match. And as you can see here, they went through all this and the guy didn't do anything. So something to think about. And just a heads up for those that may.
Now, I got this article pulled up. From Russians to deplorables to insiders who knew too much. Are enemies of the deep state being targeted for elimination? Interesting story over at RT that Steve Quayle linked to on his site. We learned that authorities can now request DNA of Americans without blah, blah, blah. Let's see. You do realize that biospecific weapons can be targeted against specific DNA profiles, don't you? Okay. As we reported back on November 16th, authorities in the U.S. also recently were accused of collecting Russian DNA by Russian President Vladimir Putin himself, and in so doing, raised fears that the DNA collection was being done upon various ethnic groups in Russia for the purpose of developing an ethnic-specific weapon capable of only targeting Russians or, you know, Slavs, so forth and so on. Now, remember the PNAC documents. Very clearly talked about race-specific bioweapons, Project for a New American Century, the catalyzing event, such as the new Pearl Harbor, and then we had 9/11, all those Israeli dual American-Israeli citizens, and then we had people like Jeb Bush and Don Rumsfeld and others also clicked up as far as PNAC, this big think tank. And with the mainstream media and the entire Democratic Party, a.k.a. entrenched establishment, going batshit crazy in their projection that everything is tied to Russia here in 2017 America, let's take a look at what the Russians think about U.S. authorities attempting to get the DNA of people across their country. From Russian Senator Franz Klintsevich, the deputy head of the Defense and Security Committee, who was among the first to suspect foul play. I'm not saying that we are definitely talking about preparations for biological war against Russia, he prefaced in his statement on Facebook, but the scenario is undoubtedly being developed. And just think about this, with this plague, pneumonic plague being released and hitting the east coast of Africa. I mean, is this just some warm-up, you know, the Ebola scare that we had? Look at all these different bird flus and all that. Were these just warm-up events? You know, just too weird. And I've always talked about the bio angle on this program as being the one to keep the enforcer class on post, on point, enforcing the quarantines, just like the overlords up top say so. Let's see here. The senator suggested that different ethnicities react to biological arms differently, and perhaps this is why the West is meticulously collecting material across the country. The relevant Western agencies need to know that we are clued up on their interests, Klintsevich said, praising Putin's statement. Are enemies of the deep state, whether Russians or deplorables or simply insiders who knew too much, being targeted for elimination? As we read in more detail below, a new name could be always, you know, added to the always growing Clinton body count. Okay. And so I already talked about, let's see here. According to the story, mass triggering, blah, blah. All right, so I'm just going to leave this one here, and it gets into some of these folks. But it's worth looking at where this biological thing with the Russians. Now, I got Henry Mackow pulled up. Are Jewish men afraid of women? And it's got a picture of Al Franken grabbing Joy Behar by the boob. Many people have noticed the disproportionate number of Jews among the men accused of harassing women. It made me wonder why so many successful guys could not master the act of courtship, like simply asking a woman out for a date. Then I recalled this article and wondered if the reason is their mothers. Jewish mothers often are strong and overbearing. Do many Jewish males behave so badly because they're afraid of women? Yeah, you know, that's just, do they find them unapproachable? Many become homosexuals. Do they all become sexual molesters in the article below? Frank Sanger remarked on how Jewish husbands he knows are all henpecked, and it gets into, you know, Jewish women dominate, and you know, and it gets into James Perloff talking about Jackie Mason totally agrees. So it's pretty funny. Jewish conspiracy responsible for anti-Semitism, says young Israeli. And this is the article I was talking about, and we're going to come up on the end. There is a rational explanation and justification for anti-Jewish feelings. A satanic element within Jewry is engaged in warfare against mankind. Michael Berg, a young Israeli, says ordinary Jews need to tell organized Jewry, you don't represent me, or they will be blamed for its misdeeds. And he gets into being born in Israel in 1985. Ever since he was a young man, he had an instinctive feeling that something's wrong with the world. He's shocked to learn that Judaism was basically satanic because it seeks to supplant God. Judaism was basically engaged in a tribal racist warfare against mankind. The Jewish religion teaches Jews to hate and fear non-Jews. This is the ultimate racism on the planet. Anti-Semitism is not a disease, but rather a healthy reaction to the satanic agenda of organized Jewry, Zionism, who make up the Illuminati. So, you know, hopefully it's real and people are figuring it out. If not, you know, the race wars are coming, the civil wars, maybe the bioweapon release. It seems to be building, and so there's the music. I'm going to let you enjoy the Night Prowler, and then I'll talk to y'all next week. Sorry about my kind of scatterbrainedness tonight. I was dealing with technical issues.